everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve.
And I am Larry.
Look, we're both here. We're back, people. I know. We were off for about almost 2 weeks there or so. I don't know. It was a time. There was a time and a time again, right? Isn't that very, very, you know, revolutionary?
Time and half a time.
Half a time. Yeah. I'm trying to make a weak illusion, and I can't even make a weak illusion. What's below weak illusion? I don't know. Anyway, it's good to be back with you, my friend, and good to see you again. They can't see you. I can see you. So they know how beautiful you are. No, I know how beautiful you are, but they don't know. So.
And they don't miss that, I don't think.
Well, I don't know. They should.
I just picture Channing Tatum.
Yeah. He looks awesome in every Michael Bay movie ever made. Just think of any male lead in every Michael Bay movie.
You don't know Michael Bay.
Well, he's the one that did Transformers, right?
So, oh, okay.
If it's got big explosions in it, Michael Bay did it. And he's probably right now being shamed over some sexual harassment charges. So anyway, let's move along from that. So if I've made that allusion, folks, and he's being shamed already, well, he deserves it. Hey, this week, Larry, we're talking about Revelation 18. So do you want to give a brief overview to it, or should we just jump right in? Up to you.
Yeah, so this is going to be the lament over Babylon, right? And in chapter 17, we talked about the woman on the beast. And remember, the prostitute had on her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes. Mm-hmm. And then now he's going on, and he's just going to elaborate on the fall of Babylon.
Okay.
He's just going to concentrate on Babylon, elaborate on the fall.
Yeah. Okay. Right on. All right. Well, folks, again, as always, I'm in the wrong version. Sorry, Lair. I should jump back over to the right version. As if there is a right version, but at least the version we're using, which is the ESV. So folks, I'm reading now the ESV and Revelation 18, starting at verse 1, I'll read to the end of verse 3. So, after this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She's become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living."
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a little indictment of Babylon, I'd say.
Very much so, Stevie. And again, you remember the four major views. There's the historist, the preterist, the futurist, and the spiritual or the idealist. And when it comes to this thing on Babylon, everybody seems to be coming together, right? A little bit. Because what he's done is he's gone back and he's talking about the fall. Now, nobody sees this at this point. Nobody sees this as a continual progression. Maybe the futurists still do a little bit. The Walvoords and others will talk about the possibility of this still being future, of Babylon rebuilding itself. Now, Babylon is modern day Iran, Iraq area, right? And the idea that Babylon could be rebuilt. And I remember one of my teachers saying, yeah, Babylon could be rebuilt, that this could actually be Babylon. But most don't think that. Most think that this is symbolic of something, right?
Right.
The historists, they'll look at Babylon, especially in verse 4, where he says, "Come out of my people." They'll look at Babylon as being the Catholic Church. And maybe there was a time when people would feel that way. There was a time when there were strong feelings against the Catholic Church,
right?
Because of course, up until the 1500s, up until the time of Luther and Zwingli and those guys, the reformers, the Catholic Church was pretty much all there was. There may have been a bit of an Orthodox thing going on, but we were all pretty much Catholic up until that time. And then there was the breakaway.
Right.
And so anybody coming out of that could see, you know, the corruption in the Catholic Church. You know, now we've seen the corruption in all the churches.
Yeah.
So we've all had our time on TV. And very few of us point at the Catholic Church anymore when we're doing this. The preterists still see Babylon as being either Rome or Jerusalem, right? Depending on which way they go, some make a very strong point for this being Jerusalem. Some make a very good point for being Rome. And then the spiritualists or the idealists, they actually do very well, and they say this is civilized humanity, the wealth of humans opposing God. Right? So what is Babylon? And I like it to be Rome. I like it for John. I still think it's Rome in his brain. It's Rome. And for the rest of us, it can be wherever mankind is building great wealth and not paying attention to God or opposing God. And now he's pointing it out, isn't he? You're fallen, Babylon. Yeah. You've fallen. You're now a haunt for demons and every kind of unclean spirit. So what's happening here? There's nothing spiritual. There's nothing of God going on in Rome at this time. There's nothing of God going on in civilized humanity, right? This is a place for demons. This is a place for unclean spirits. This is a place for detestable beasts. And of course, for a Jewish mind, detestable beasts are beasts that are unclean beasts, right?
Right.
Yeah. And all of the nations have drunk of the wine of your sexual immorality. Now, sexual immorality here is not, well, can be. I mean, literal sexual immorality can be a part of it, right?
Okay.
Rome, before her fall, was very sexually immoral. Greece was sexually immoral from a Jewish Christian point of view.
Right.
From their point of view, they were fine.
Yeah.
But from the Jewish Christian point of view, they were not fine. So he says you're drinking, but more what he's saying, this sexual immorality is the kings of the earth getting swept away with the ungodliness of humanity. Right? And when you're after all of the luxuries of life, you're actually pushing yourself away from God, and that's what's happening here. And so you take the greatest nations right now and the places where people develop their wealth, and that's what he's referring to.
Okay.
If you're idealist, right?
Yeah.
If you're preterist, this is Rome. If you're futurist, you know, there may be an actual specific nation that's building back up. Okay. The historists also see they did see, you don't see it anymore, but they saw the rise of the Commonwealth in this too.
All right. Yes. We've mentioned that on several occasions.
Yeah. And so no matter what you do with this, this is the fall of humanity that is opposed to God.
Right.
And that's what he's talking about here.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll keep trucking. This is good. Oh gosh.
Nope.
How far do you want me to read down here, bud?
Oh, just push on down to
maybe to end of 8, something like that.
Yeah, do 8.
Okay, cool. Then I, folks, just starting at verse 4, just to make it clear. And then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning. Since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.' For this reason her plagues will come on a single day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her." Okay.
Yeah, it gets tough, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It gets really rough. And this is the voice coming out of heaven, you know? And so it's obviously, it's not God speaking, it's one of his angels speaking, but the voice is coming from the throne.
Right.
So it's God's message. And he's saying, come out of her, my people. So it's kind of odd, isn't it, that all of a sudden he's talking to the Christians. And right. he's saying, don't be a part of this thing.
Right.
Don't get involved. Don't get involved in this world. This is kind of hard for us, too. Right. He's saying to us, don't get involved in this world's systems.
Right.
Don't spend your life chasing the dream that was created by the whore.
Yeah, okay.
By Babylon, by civilized humanity.
Right.
The star chasers. Don't be doing this. Come out of her. Now, again, the historists, I even remember being in sermons where they said this was mentioned to people in the Catholic Church, to come out of the Catholic Church. I don't hear that anymore, thankfully.
Yeah.
But we used to hear that kind of stuff. And now it's not come out of any particular city. It's not leave Rome, but don't get involved in what Rome had.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and John at this time would be talking to the people of his audience, right? And they would have understood that right away about being involved in Rome's sins, would they not?
Oh yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. There was if you're gonna be a part of the cash society of Rome, remember when we go back about you will not be able to buy or sell unless
you're
part of the beast, right? And we talked about in Ephesus they had places where you had to get a mark on your hand in order mm-hmm. to go in and buy and sell. And there was also the whole idea of emperor worship. If it existed at the time that John did it, the people would say, you know, they would worship the emperor, and that would just be a part of your daily life, right?
Right.
And people didn't believe the emperor was God. But it was just something that at least I don't think they did. I'll throw that out there because I think most people then were as intelligent as people are now.
Right.
Like they weren't stupid people. These are literate people. Mm-hmm. Trilingual, many of them spoke Hebrew, but they definitely spoke Greek and Aramaic, you know. Mm-hmm. They would speak whatever language would fit them for their commerce.
Right.
They're buying and selling, they're involved in things. So, and he's saying, look, you've got to follow God. You've got to follow God. And if following God means you're going to lose your contracts, means you're going to lose your livelihood, then you've got to lose your livelihood to follow God.
Yeah.
And people are saying, well, why would we even do that? I mean, look at the fantastic things that Rome has given us. Mm. Look at the wealth that we have. And all that we're doing is pretending to do this little bit of emperor worship stuff. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You can't. You can't. You got to come out of her. You can't be a part of that. And I'm going to torment her. And it's going to, in this version, it says come upon her in a day. In the other ones, it'll say come upon her in an hour, you know? So in a very short period of time, all of this is going to change.
Yeah. It's right? quick and it's very, very painful, right?
It's quick and it's painful. And as you read on further, and it's permanent.
Yeah. Oh,
you're not going to bounce back from this.
Yeah.
From the judgment of God. So that's what's coming now. In a single day, death and mourning and famine, you're going to be burned up with fire. Mighty is God who has judged you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and again, don't mess with God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to see that theme of God kind of dealing with Babylon. A lot of it is because of her pride too, right? I need nothing. I am no widow. No more. You know, I'm all there is. I'm in control. And God reminding Babylon, Rome, you know, I am the Lord Almighty. So for the mighty is the God who judged her. So, okay. And maybe to the end of 14 this time?
Let's try that.
Okay, cool. Folks, picking it up at verse 9 then. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves. That is human souls. And the fruit for which you, your soul longed has gone from you. And all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again.
Yeah. So obviously, Babylon is making everybody around her rich. Like, everybody around her is incredibly rich. And when God judges, all of that ends. Right? Mm. And then he just lists all of the incredible wealth of his day. Mm. In our day, you'd add things to that. There'd be differences there.
Right.
But and just oddly enough, like, other than the ivory, which we're not allowed to buy, everything else here you can have if you're in Canada, United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except maybe the human souls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. It's absolutely right. But yeah.
Yeah. So he does all of this, and some would say, no, the human souls are being sold too. And they would point to Hollywood and things like that.
Right.
But he shows all of this incredible wealth, and he finishes it off. Now, this says slaves. In my version, it would say the bodies and the souls of men, or if you want to be a little more politically correct, you say the bodies and the souls of people. They're human beings are just a commodity like everything else.
That's a great distinction there, Larry, to actually include it that way, to make it think of it, because we would kind of gloss over that to think, you know, something more, but that's great. That's awesome insight.
Well, thank you, Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm a little embarrassed. And
yeah, sorry.
So the fruit that you long for so long is gone, and all of the delicacies and splendors, it's all gone. And you know what it sounds like? Mm. It sounds like there's two different things it sounds like. And many of the scholars in every one of the camps will point to an incredible stock market crash here. Mm. And I think some of these guys were writing, well, they're writing in the 60s and 70s, but they're not so far away that their parents wouldn't have remembered the crash of the
30s. Right.
Where so much wealth was gone in such an incredibly short period of time. They say, and that's the type of thing that'll happen again, like where everything that we've built towards disappears. Yeah. And it is just gone. And, you know, and people are killing themselves because they don't know what to do.
Right.
You know, for us, this last run for us was the crush of the oil fields
here
in Alberta. You know, people had fabulous jobs and made tons of money, and then it was just done. It was just over.
Yeah.
And this is that type of a thing, right, that's going to happen. And you can look at a specific place, or you can just look at every place and see the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, part of I'm sitting here struggling with thinking about how do the future preterists, especially our brethren across the 49th border, deal with some of this stuff, right? You know, if this thought of remaking America into this nation of the, you know, kind of the new Israel, and you think, how do you reconcile this kind of passage here with, you know, I'm having trouble with how folks in that camp are kind of reconciling that, but maybe they're just not bothering them.
Well, maybe you're not thinking about it, but it is really, really harsh. Like, it's very, very tough stuff.
Yeah, because it's really pointing directly at consumerism, right? To say, you know, you put yourself in something where you didn't need God because you surrounded yourself with every ease of life. So
yeah, and we're not far removed.
No, yeah, no, we're just as guilty in Canada. We just, you know, do it with maple syrup. That's all. Yeah.
You know, it's a little colder here, so we feel like, you know, we've paid the price already.
So. Yes, we've suffered with cold. I don't even know what I'm saying there. Sorry. Merchants wares.
15 down to 17, and then we'll pick it up again.
Sounds good.
It basically just keeps saying the same thing over and over, and he just pushes more and more toward the same stuff.
Yeah.
So if you read down to, you know, 19 or 20 there, you should be good.
Okay, cool. Let's do it. Starting at 15, folks. The merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, and with pearls. For in a single hour, all this wealth has been laid waste. And the shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and all those who trade on the sea, stood far off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, alas, alas, for the great city, where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth. For in a single hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. Now, that's an interesting closing, eh?
Yeah.
Isn't that an interesting closing? Because this is those that see her lay waste that were making profit from her, and then turn around and go, rejoice over her, O heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, it is something, isn't it? So there is one thing we should mention here, and that's if you want to make this book completely linear, like from chapter one to chapter, you know, right through to the end, and make it linear, you have run into a problem, because all of the ship guys are upset right now. The merchants that made their money off her are upset. Mm. Don't forget, a few chapters ago, all of the oceans were turned to blood and destroyed.
What?
So yeah, so that's why we can't. That's why this can't be in line with everything else, right?
Right, right.
So that's one of the minor things. But again, like we were saying, or like you were saying, now the ship people are standing far off, and again, it's just going over all of the things that they've lost. The scarlet and the purple and the pearls, and everything's been laid waste. Everything that you make your money on is gone. And this is something that the Pentecostal preachers and some of the other preachers were counting on. Like when they were giving their lives to God and working for nothing for all those years, and they were preaching about the kingdom come and about Christ and salvation, they really thought that this stuff was going to be here in their lifetime.
Okay. You know?
And I think they were right to live that way, to not be thinking about the future and not be thinking about, you know, RSPs and all that, and just thinking about souls for the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember that you said that multiple times too, right? That was really a driving force, especially in what would it be, like the 40s and 50s. And those preachers at that time were really living that lifestyle of a very Spartan lifestyle, because they really thought they were going home.
Oh yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. Every one of them thought that they believed in the rapture, right. And every one of them thought the rapture was going to come in their lifetime. You know, they all lived with that kind of a mentality.
Yeah.
And if you live out your life and you die and it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean you were wrong to live that kind of a lifestyle.
Right.
That kind of a, you know, to have that worldview or that ideology.
Right. Right.
So this is what they're expecting. Like everybody that put their trust in wealth would end up like these ship owners, and it would all be gone. And we've had some financial downturns over the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the 1980s, were kind of a big financial downturn. What was it, 2008 was a big financial downturn.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
That's the last one, eh?
Yeah, the kind of the mortgage crisis that happened and then dragged everything else with it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and so these type of things have happened, but there have been other things that have bolstered it so that it didn't affect us like it did in the 30s, I guess. And some of the famines that have happened, or some of the like destruction of crops and stuff, there have been enough money elsewhere to kind of bolster that. You know,
right.
Makes me think about, you know, like, you know, don't spoil the oil and the wine. There's going to be some destruction, but there's going to be enough to hold on. And people have held on, and they've carried on with, you know, buying cryptos and things like that.
Yeah.
But he's saying the whole thing is going to fall apart.
Right.
It's going to come today.
Interesting. That is just a really interesting way to end that off. All right, folks. Well, okay, let's pick it up from this last section, starting at verse 21 here. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the lay of the lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and all who have been slain on the earth."
And there you go. And that's the end of it, right? It's just elaborating more on what all this stuff means, right? Just elaborating that none of this stuff is going to happen in you anymore. So, like the ones who talk about Rome, they say, you know, that Rome continued on as a city doesn't take away from what this is referring to, right?
Right. What has happened. Yeah.
But again, the spiritual view works really well, doesn't it? This is every city. But look at what the purpose of it was. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. Right?
Yeah.
Your merchants were the great ones that you deceived them with your sorcery, and you killed the godly people.
Yeah.
And I can see the people that saw this as Jerusalem looking back and saying, you know, Jerusalem, like they killed all of their prophets.
Yeah.
Their prophets were... Kings were doing okay. Prophets were being killed for the message that they brought. They were bringing God's message, and they were being killed for that message.
Yeah.
And now Babylon is going to be punished for what has happened.
Yeah.
Prophets and saints, of course. Prophets were... I'm still thinking Old Testament prophets, New Testament saints, but prophets were all the way through.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere you want.
Yeah.
But the destruction of Babylon, all that this whole thing does is says there's going to come a time when God is going to judge this whole thing. And if John's audience was looking at the Jewish people as being a part of this, and then Rome being in charge of the whole thing, the Roman Empire,
mm-hmm.
he's saying that all of them are going to be judged for what has happened.
Everyone is complicit in this, right?
Yeah. They are all complicit.
Yeah.
And you who have lived for the truth and given your lives for the truth, you will be avenged.
Yeah. Would you still see this? But, you know, we've talked in previous chapters that this is, you know, we're still in this sort of evangelistic sort of calling the people back to God. Would this chapter still be included in that? Or is that kind of the conclusion to say, I've begged you to come back. This is what's going to happen if you don't come back. Where would we find it on that continuum?
Well, this is of course the destruction of humanity against God, right? And so he's still going to be like, this whole book is about people coming to Christ,
right?
You know, and he's still going to pick that up in the next chapter. He's going to talk about, you know, just the fantastic things waiting for the people of God.
I get you.
And then when he gets to the end of the book, he's still going to be talking about an evangelistic message. But right now he hasn't mentioned it. It's kind of interesting, right? Because in 9 and in other chapters, he says, and they did not repent, right? And they did not repent, and they did not repent. But now he's just being very clear about what's going to happen to civilized humanity, to humanity against God, to Rome itself.
Right. Okay.
Hong Kong.
Yeah. It's all going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Get over with.
It's a tough message for us because we're living, if you live anything like I'm living, we're living pretty good lives in Canada.
Yeah.
And it would be easy to not to just turn away from God for the and concentrate on the materialistic things that we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's saying, don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. God is begging us back. Yeah. Come out of her. Yeah. But I mean, hey, like we talked even before we started the show, you know, it's kind of a odd chapter to kind of deal with because, you know, it's a little bit lengthier, but it's really repeating that same message of, you know, I'm calling you out of this great sin.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to do. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you three times how I'm going to do it.
Or more. Yeah, that's right. This is what the world's doing. Yeah. Don't do it. Yeah.
So, well, folks, you know, we've come to the end of Revelation 18. Next week, like Larry said, we'll pick up Revelation 19 and kind of go with kind of come back to that message of God calling his people back to him again and calling all peoples back to him. So,
yeah. Well, and for those, 19 is the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yep. Yeah. So here's where you get to see the great reward. So, yeah. All right. Well, hey, until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Larry.
And we're so happy that you joined us on this journey. Thanks for watching, or I should say listening to the Apocalypse Podcast. We'll be back in about a week's time. Thanks, everyone.